Lord, I want to thank you again for bringing us here, and I thank you for this opportunity to praise you and worship you. Lord, I hope that we would truly understand and mean what we sing in these songs, Lord. I pray that you truly would open up the heavens tonight and let us see who you really are. Lord, we know that you are not always the most visible God in the world, but we know you are always the most powerful God. So even when we don't see you, Lord, I pray that we would still praise you just as hard. And I pray that we would love you just as much. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. All right. Now, I don't know about you guys, but one thing that always tends to get on my nerves is when I'm working very hard trying to get some kind of task done, and the people who are supposed to be working right alongside me are slacking off. Can anybody relate to this? Yeah? Okay, good. I thought maybe it was just me. But no. For some reason, it just tends to irritate me when I'm working very hard and other people are not giving something the same effort that I am. Now, don't get me wrong. I've been the slacker of the group every now and then, chatting with my friends while other people try to set up decorations for a party or whatever else needed doing. But whenever I'm on the other side of it, I tend to get a little annoyed. For example, I remember a couple of years ago, my brother Cody was preparing to leave his last semester at college after his graduation. So naturally, everyone who came down to Virginia to see him graduate was helping him pack and move out, myself included. I remember me and my mom and Aunt Jen were all working very hard trying to get Cody moved out of his dorm room when we learned something very interesting about Cody. He is not a very motivated mover. Now, if you were to start a business that specializes in moving people's prized possessions out of their houses all in one day, you would most certainly not want Cody on that team. Throughout the moving process, Cody frequently stopped placing his clothes in his bags to join into different conversations with some of the friends that he had made in his time at college. Now, when my mom, Miss Kelly, would ask Cody whether a certain item should be kept or thrown away, she would often turn to him, only to realize that he was not even in the room. This greatly irritated me at the time, because I was working hard to try and get him ready to go, while it seemed to me that he was slacking off. But you see, the reason for his lack of motivation when moving is not because he's lazy, but that he simply doesn't want to leave wherever he is. Now, he felt the same way when he was leaving for college for the first time, and also when he just recently moved from Alabama to Kansas. But nonetheless, much to my annoyance, and as his wife can attest, he is little to no help when it comes to moving. A woman in our story tonight, named Martha, found herself in a similar situation to the one that I found myself in when helping my brother move. In the story we will read tonight, Martha finds herself irritated due to the fact that she is expending all of the effort to accommodate Jesus and his disciples, while her sister Mary sits by and feels free to enjoy the company. But what might surprise you is the way Jesus truly feels about this situation, and which of the two sisters he commends for their actions. This story starts off in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, which is where we will be reading tonight. If you have your Bible with you, or your phone, or your iPad, whatever you're using, please turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now, if you don't have anything like that with you, if you didn't come prepared, don't worry. Text is going to come up right on the side screen for you. So, verse 38 starts off. It says, "As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister, Mary, sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, 'Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me.' But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, in this scene, as Martha is working herself to the bone, trying to make everything perfect for Jesus and the disciples, she notices Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, when she turns to Jesus to get his help in telling Mary to pitch in, Jesus responds with love, "My dear Martha, there's only one thing worth being concerned about." While you and me might initially relate to Martha's concerns, Jesus shows us that the critical tasks that we deem to be so important are not as important as we think they are. Jesus is telling us that what we should be concerned about is spending time with him. Point one, Jesus would rather have your heart than your hands. You see, guys, where Martha went wrong is not that she was doing too much for Jesus. She simply didn't have her priorities set right. Now, Mary did. Where Martha focused only on what she could do for Jesus, Mary was focused on what she could do with Jesus. Jesus is not interested in you because of what you can do for him. He's not looking to save your soul simply because he thinks you can get stuff done. He wants to be with you, to spend life with you. Jesus chases after us because he wants to be a part of our lives. He wants to spend time with us, time in conversation and fellowship, like he spent with Mary and his disciples. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be serving or that we don't need to do the things that we think Jesus would want us to do. But our mindset needs to be different while we are doing these things. Now, instead of stressing out, worrying about how to make everything perfect, we should focus our attention on having a thankful heart, being grateful to Jesus all along the way as we work, appreciating that he has given us an opportunity to spread his love as we spend time working to grow our relationship with him throughout our lives. I remember my friend once told me about a recent Thanksgiving celebration with her family. Now, her family always had a large celebration of their family members and loved ones hosted at their house each year for this holiday. Now, naturally, a lot of cleaning and preparation is needed every year before the family begins to arrive. But this year, instead of beginning the cleaning process a few days early and getting the whole house cleaned slowly and surely like they normally did each year, my friend told me about the one year that, because of some oversight by the entire household, all of the cleaning and preparation was pushed off until suddenly the family found themselves having done none of the work that was needed and realizing that it was already the day before Thanksgiving. My friend went on to describe the ensuing chaos of trying to get the very messy house cleaned up in one fell swoop, as relatives would be arriving early the very next day. Everyone was given multiple tasks to complete, some of which took place in the same rooms as other people who were trying to get their own chores done. This often caused the very busy holiday hosts much frustration, as they were now under a big time crunch and were constantly getting in each other's way. Many chores were completed with much haste, but not enough care to adequately complete the chores well enough, causing many things in the house to require a second cleaning. Throughout the cleaning process, my friend and her family found themselves getting more and more frustrated and stressed about the party that was coming a bit too quickly for their tastes. So much so that they even found themselves privately complaining to themselves about the fact that they were having to do all of this work. Now, in the midst of this, my friend realized that their desire to make everything spotless and perfect for their holiday celebration had quickly stolen the excitement and thankfulness that had been associated with the day for so long. In overly stressing over every detail, the family had lost sight of the reason for having the celebration in the first place and cost themselves the enjoyment of the whole holiday itself. Now, you see, this work needed to be done. You can't have a large family gathering on Thanksgiving Thursday with your house looking like an episode of Hoarders. Great show, by the way. Check it out. You'll see some of the most horrifying things you've ever seen in your life. But anyway, nonetheless, This work did not have to be done like this. Everything could have still been cleaned and prepared for the next day with joy and gladness if the family stopped worrying and simply cast their cares on Jesus. Now, Mary, in our story, is by no means somebody who doesn't get anything done. In fact, she probably helped her sister prepare for the visit with Jesus and his disciples a great deal. But the place where she succeeds above her sister Martha is that she knows when to stop stressing and focus on Jesus. This same principle is presented to us again in the Bible in Colossians 3:2, which says, "Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth." When Jesus says that Mary has found the one thing worth being worried about, he's talking about Mary's focus on her relationship with him, because nothing else truly matters in life. Having every inch of your house spotless for company to come over is not something worth causing worry or stress about. And this is not what Jesus expects his followers to focus on in their lifetime journey with him. After all, every task and act of service we are meant to carry out is meant to grow our spirits, bringing us closer to him. True spiritual growth is not found in simply doing more for Jesus. True spiritual growth comes about in spending more time with Jesus. Now, the next thing we notice in this story is Mary's reaction when her sister asks her to come help her. By the way, this Mary is not Mary Magdalene. Many people have thought that this was Mary Magdalene at first glance. That's what I thought at first glance. When in reality, this is actually a different Mary completely. This is Lazarus's sister, Mary, from Bethany, not Mary from Magdala. There are so many Marys in the Bible, it's really hard to keep track, so I just figured I'd clarify that real quick. Now, Martha is not asking Mary for anything crazy with her request. She's simply saying to her sister Mary, "Hey, can I get a little help here?" But Mary does not immediately respond. Now, I've never had a full in-person conversation with Jesus, but I assume that if I did, he would almost always be saying something interesting. As we've seen portrayed so wonderfully in The Chosen, pretty much every time Jesus seems to open his mouth, whatever he says could pretty much change your life. Plus, it tells us in verse 39 that Mary was listening to what Jesus was teaching. No doubt he was saying some pretty important and interesting stuff. So it's no surprise to me that when Martha asks her sister to walk away from Jesus and come chop some vegetables, her sister does not immediately jump up to help. Instead, she stays where she is, turns her head back towards Jesus, and waits to hear what he has to say. In the end, Jesus wants her right where she is, right next to him. Point two. Mary would not be distracted from Jesus. Guys, I've seen many people in the middle of potentially life-changing conversations or moments only to have their attention pulled away by some kind of distraction. Now, these people didn't ask for these distractions, but they happened nonetheless. I cannot tell you how many times this has happened to me. Now, one thing you might not know about me is that I tend to read the Bible on my phone using the Bible app. Rather than pick up my giant hardcover Bible, which for some reason is the only one I keep accessible in my room, I always pull up the Bible app to do my daily Bible reading. There's tons of interesting reading plans. I can highlight things without needing a highlighter or permanently marking up a book. It just works for me. But every so often, I will be reading my Bible on my phone, my attention focused fully on God's Word, when all of a sudden, whoop, I'll get some kind of alert on my phone. Now, sometimes it's a text message, some Snapchat thing, Facebook alert, or something else. But whenever this happens, I mean, I wish I could tell you that I don't even notice it because I'm so engrossed in God's Word. But the truth is that I often get completely sidetracked from what God might be trying to say to me because of it. Now, when this happens, I often kill the moment that God was creating, and I forget what he was trying to say to me. And that thing that God was trying to say to me might be something very important, maybe even something that could change my life. perhaps like something Mary was hearing in hearing Jesus' teaching. But if I could give you one piece of advice in terms of studying the Bible, it would be this. Cut out the distractions. There is an enemy out there who is constantly trying to find ways to distract us from Jesus. Whether it is by sending us texts at the worst time, causing heavy things to be on our minds when we should be focusing on God, or something else, the enemy loves to distract us. And fighting against that might look different for everyone. For me, I should probably invest in a Bible I either want to pick up or at least temporarily block the notifications on my phone while I'm reading my Bible. For you, it could look completely different. You may even not be able to escape all of the distractions in your life. But I tell you this, God can make a way for you to focus on Him and clearly hear what He wants to tell you. He will show you how. He's a pretty clear communicator. Now, this one is a constant struggle that we will have to fight our whole lives. The battle to keep our focus on Jesus is one that will always need to be fought, but it will be worth it. Because the things Jesus wants to tell you are critical to your success in life. Like Peter walking on the waves toward Jesus, the second we take our attention off of Jesus, we will begin to drown. Instead, we must follow the example of Mary, not allowing ourselves to be pulled away when we are sitting at the feet of Jesus. Life is going to pull us in all kinds of different directions, but we must remember to keep our attention on Jesus if we want life to be all that it can be. Finally, the last thing we learn from this story is about how Jesus really feels about Martha's complaint. Now, remember I said earlier that Martha's work was not the problem in this situation. The thing that Jesus had an issue with was not what Martha was doing, but how she was doing it. As Martha slaved away in the kitchen for Jesus and everyone else who was there, her focus was completely on the work she was doing, while she gave little thought to who she was actually doing it for. She lost sight of the reason for what she was doing until it simply became another chore. Guys, anyone can do something nice, even without having Jesus. Anyone can make a wonderful dinner and serve a house full of guests without even being saved by the love of Christ. We have to remember why it means something when we do it. In Octane, the college and career students and I were led by Mr. Caleb through a very interesting book called Good or God. Now, this book is written by Pastor John Bevere, and it talks about the true nature of what people think is good and what God wants from us. In it, John Bevere tells a story about when he watched a very publicized event on the news. You see, one day, years ago, as Pastor John sat in a hotel room on a preaching tour, he turned on the news and he saw the funeral procession in England for Princess Diana. As he was watching this, he got to thinking about all of the kind and charitable things that Princess Diana had done throughout her life. And he began to pray. He began to talk to God about how awful it was that someone who had done so much good was now gone from the world. Now, Princess Diana had worked to provide assistance to many charity organizations, helping to provide aid to the homeless, those with debilitating diseases, children who had lost their parents, and many more. And she was now suddenly gone due to a fatal car accident. As he talked to God about all of this, he began to wonder about why God would let someone like this die so tragically and so suddenly, cutting off any more good that she could do for the people of the world who so desperately needed it. After a long time of thinking and praying, John heard a message from the Lord. He felt God say to him, "That's not what I want from people." What? John was dumbfounded. He couldn't understand what the Lord could have meant. He prayed again, "Lord, did I hear you right? How could you not want this from people? You tell people to love their neighbors. You tell them to be kind and gracious. Princess Diana did so much good. How could you not want people to do that?" It was at this point that John got the revelation that prompted him to write the book. There is nothing good that isn't done with God. All of the kind and charitable things that Princess Diana did were still kind and charitable, but they didn't lead anyone to Christ. Without this ever-important purpose behind everything we do, as my dad would say, we're simply giving people nicer rides to hell. Now, when John Bevere realized that a life like Princess Diana's is not what God truly wants, he realized the same truth that Jesus demonstrates when he tells Martha, "There's only one thing worth being worried about." And this truth is our third and final point for the night. Point 3. Good deeds without Jesus are not enough. No matter what we do, no matter who we help, if we are not pointing people back to Christ, we are not truly helping them. Without Jesus, anyone can be kind to a stranger. Anyone can give charitably. Anyone can do something good for someone else without Jesus. But the one thing that makes it more meaningful when a Christian does it is that it points people back to salvation of the heart in Jesus Christ. The one thing that can help people for the rest of eternity. Without Jesus, the things we do can have no real power or lasting purpose. We have to remember this truth as we live out our lives. We cannot seek to help people physically without helping them spiritually. Only by leading people back to the love and person of Jesus Christ can we truly change their lives in a way that will last forever. As the band and the worship leaders come back, let me leave you with one last thing. Maybe the things you've been trying to do lately haven't been working out. Maybe every time you try to do something, you just can't quite get it to seem, you can't seem to get it to turn out right. Maybe things just feel kind of off for you right now. Just a little different, not quite right. Maybe every time you seem to get one thing done, you feel like 10 more things pop up and you think it'll never end. Whatever storm you're walking in, I guarantee you that Jesus can walk you out the other end of it. But don't miss this. Don't forget to reach out to the people you see along the way. Jesus loves you. He didn't come down to earth just to get you to do stuff for him, but he does give you the opportunity. He gives you a chance to hold on to him through the fog you're walking in. And if you stick with him, you might just be able to grab hold of someone else who's lost in that fog and bring them into the light with you. All you have to do is hold on to him. Lord, you are great, greater than we could ever know on this earth, Lord. You've done so much that we haven't seen, and so much that we have seen and we've forgotten about, Lord. You have moved heaven and earth to be with us, to be among your children, because you love us, Lord. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for teaching us. We thank you for giving us your word to guide us and lead us. And Lord, we would all be lost in a fog without you. We would have no idea where to go or where we even could go, Lord. But thankfully, we don't have to stay lost. we can grab on to you. You're right there, and you're holding out your hand to us. I thank you so much for being willing to guide us and lead us. And even though we might let go of you from time to time and get ourselves lost again, you're always right there, reaching out your hand again. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Have a good night, everybody. We'll see you next week, 7 o'clock, Saturday night. Pastor Drew will be back. Everyone have a safe drive home. Have a good night, everybody.